Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Beyond the Numbers. As always, I'm your friendly host, Bill Will, and this is Ben.
You sure, Benjamin, Bill?
Are you happy to be are you happy to be back as I am, sir?
Sir, I am ecstatic. I am super thrilled to be able to do this yet again and bring out more content. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
As always, we have a lot to talk about. Let's get into yesterday's playoff startup. We had the pleasure of having four great games. Let's be clear, we saw nice three great games with nice defensive matchups. And also, we had a nice high-scoring game towards the end of it. We'll definitely be getting into that here soon. But let's talk about the Tigers and the Guardians, sir.
Yep. That,
the Tigers took that first W with a Tyreek Skubal epic showdown. I feel like they were playing unfair. I'm not going to lie to you. Skubal should have never been pitching all the way into the ninth. They literally made it to where the Guardians were never going to get anything. And they knew it.
Well, there's no doubt that Skubal is an elite pitcher. I mean, he had 14 strikeouts, sir. 14. That's a career high for him. And undoubtedly one of the most important games for him to do that in. There's not a lot to say about that game because in the end it was a defensive showdown. It wasn't like the Tigers beat him by a lot. They beat him 2-1. They put on a masterclass of pitching. Skubal probably has played one of the best games of his entire career, not just including that he was his career high in strikeouts. At one point, he even broke a camera. So, you know, it's crazy. It's just whenever you look at this game, you sit there and you think, you know, okay, he had a phenomenal performance, but my question is, can he carry that performance when he plays next in the playoffs?
Well, let me tell you something about that performance. First off, like I said, it's unfair. No way. No way Skubal was supposed to be pitching into the ninth inning. I don't care how you look at it. Second off, if they were playing almost anybody else other than the Guardians, they wouldn't have had him pitching into the ninth inning. Why? Because he would have got hit all over the place. The Guardians are a different type of team, and when it comes to certain types of pitchers, they're bound to fail. But I promise you they wouldn't have done that against the Yankees. I promise you they wouldn't have done that against the Dodgers. They wouldn't have done that up against any other person in the playoffs, honestly, other than the Guardians. There's no way. You wouldn't even have tried the Dodgers like that. Not even halfway. Skubal would have been out by the fifth inning. Easy.
Which would have been logical. You gotta save your every one of your pitchers, but your star per pitcher.
He would have been at 90 pitchers by the time the fifth inning came. He wouldn't have been able to last that long.
He's lucky he wasn't playing the Yankees.
Exactly. Once again, no other team in the playoffs would they have done that to. They did that to the Guardians just because they knew they could. So, no, I'm not going to put too much on that performance just because he definitely wouldn't have got 14 strikeouts if he wasn't in there into the until the ninth. That no way, no how. So at max, he would have got about six, maybe seven. I'd say about eight. I think he had about seven or eight by the fifth or sixth. Yeah. But either way, we're not going for it. And while it was a nice, impressive day for school ball, they wouldn't have done that up against nobody else. And me and you both know it.
I'm with you on that.
And speaking of today, the Guardians played the Tigers again, you know, game two for the series. And the Guardians took it, tied it up 1-1. I mean, yeah, tied it up 1-1 with a 6-1 win.
Yeah, yeah. That, like I said in the previous episode before we came into this, I think Scooball gives them game one, and they're going to go from there. And they put up six, and the Tigers put up one. Here's the problematic thing for the Tigers. They won 2-1 thanks to Scooball pitching through nine, like you just said. And then when he's not pitching, they get beat up. They get completely roasted, 6-1. So without Scooball, the Tigers do not have enough, I don't think, to win. In game three, they put up 2 points in game one, 1 point in game two. I can see him putting up a zero in game three, like, if I'm being honest. But I mean,
I disagree.
I just don't think they're going to beat the Guardians. The Guardians, their only problem was they had Scooball to deal with. That's it.
That was not their only problem. Once again, if it was any other team but the Guardians, Scooball wouldn't have had even half as great of a game. He wouldn't have. The Guardians won today because of their pitcher. they ended up homering and stuff in the eighth inning. But other than that, there was only one person that even recorded a hit before that. Nobody else really even got on base, other than Ramirez, who was walked three times. And then in the eighth inning, that's when they started hitting. I watched the game. It was not impressive on the Guardian side at all. Bibby did what he usually does up against the Tigers. That's it. But the Tigers take game three and probably in a nice little margin. Why? Because they're the better team in every way. There's no really debating that. I can call these games because I know what these teams have done in the past. I know what they've done up against each other. And it's not just calling it based off of history. It's calling it based off of logic. There's no way that they were going to beat Scooball yesterday. And they would have beat the Tigers if Scooball hadn't have done that. Because they had a couple of hits that were picked up off of there. But
yeah,
there's no debating on whether they were going to win today. They were bound to win because the Tigers pitcher, Mize, he's not great. Everybody knows he's not great. He's probably one of their worst pitchers. You know, when you start getting down to it, one of their worst pitchers that they've had this year. And he was never supposed to, you know, beat the Guardians. Bad pitchers, the Guardians can chew them up. Good ones, they can't. It's kind of the point of the Guardians. It's why they're here. They faced a lot of sucky pitches here and there, and then, you know, you got a couple of people on there that can go yard on a regular basis. But even their Ramirez's performance wasn't during the regular season wasn't spectacular. He just did what he was supposed to do. So with all that being said, all I'm saying is you can't count the Tigers out of this at all. And I would not pump the Guardians' head up in the slightest, thinking that they can beat them.
Well, I understand your point, and I'm not going to say that the Tigers can't win because they have proven time and time again that they are a team that can win in the most crucial moments. but I don't think we count out the Guardians, and we definitely don't. When it comes down to it, the Guardians have put up more points in these two games than the Tigers have been able to do. They're not going to have Scooball starting tomorrow. It's not going to be Scooball, and that's going to be a problem. Flaherty's a good pitcher. He's got 188 strikeouts. He's a solid starter if that's who they decide to go with. And at the end of the day, you know, the Guardians could easily drop this game. But they take advantage of mismatches.
They're going to. I can guarantee. I'm trying to give you the scoop, the inside scoop.
Okay.
They are going to drop this game. In a nice fashion, by the way.
Okay.
And if they use Ciccone, let's go ahead and bet that Riley Green home run.
Okay.
Like, I'm telling you the truth. This is the guy's honest truth. Ciccone does not have what it takes to stop the Tigers. But if you want to look at his record against the Tigers, be my guest. But it's not gonna go the way that you think, sir. That's it.
Okay. I mean, it's the playoffs. Obviously, there's a little bit more on the line. A three-game series in the playoffs is a lot different than generally a three-game series in the regular season, and I think we're looking at two teams who, if I were to be honest, I don't see either one of them going to the World Series. So it's irrelevant to me, I think, for all intents and purposes. I still think I'm betting Boston somehow slips in there past everybody. And if it was to choose between the two of them for Boston to have to go up against, I'd say I'd rather it be Cleveland, because somewhere deep down, I guess I kind of agree with you that Detroit probably takes this one, but I don't know. I can't stand the Tigers. I don't know why. I don't like them. So I'm just rooting for Cleveland. Maybe it's because I lived up there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
There for so many years, and even though I don't like Cleveland in any sport per se, I'll take them over Detroit, and I've been there a few times too. So I don't know. I just 6-1 just tells me that something was clicking. The Tigers had seven hits with only one run, whereas the Guardians had, mind you, the Guardians also had two errors, and usually that turns into something. But Guardians had 6 hits and 6 runs and 2 errors, and they still put on a 6-1 beatdown. Granted, it didn't happen until, what, the 8th inning? So
definitely didn't. They were tied 1-1 all the way up until then.
That clutch factor kicked in when it mattered most, and they won, and won in a huge fashion. So we'll see what it comes down to.
I'm just saying it's not going to come up like the way that you think. They're not – the Guardians aren't the team to beat the Tigers.
Okay. Well, you might be right, sir. I don't know. So far, I don't know how to feel about it.
Well, so far, I feel great about it. And with that being said, we're going to move into a series that I feel like has been, like, real lackluster. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't really like this series at all, and that's the Padres and the Cubs.
Yeah, that was a boring game last night. I'm not gonna lie. The Cubs won. I kind of figured they would. I mean, if we're being honest, I think the Cubs are the better of the two teams. Ultimately. They won. They're losing currently, or they lost today 3-0, which is rather surprising. But I mean, that pitcher's using a terrible pitcher, but
the win yesterday was the telltale sign that it's Matt Boyd up against Nick Pivetta, even though Pivetta outperformed Boyd. Boyd didn't let up any, he let up one run. He didn't let up a bunch of hits, though. He didn't let up a whole bunch of, he didn't let them go the way that they need to. And honestly, if we're being honest, Padres are not well put together.
They're not.
They're not well put together at all, and you can tell. So they were supposed to lose. They were actually supposed to lose today too, if we're being honest. I mean, but that's neither here nor there, because the Cubs are bound to, once again, just like I say about the Tigers, they're bound to drop something. They're bound to drop, and they're not making the series. When we're talking about the teams that are going to make the series, you can't tell me that you see either four of these teams that we've talked about so far going to the series. So who no, really cares? Not. They're not going anywhere.
To PCA we pray, right?
For what? That man hasn't done anything in months. That man literally got a couple of home runs the other day, and I'm sitting here like, what? Where was this at for my last 16 parlays?
Yeah, the PCA hype train kind of died off there, if I'm being honest.
And I thought it was going to keep on rolling. I was one of those. I was one of those that had faith in the man, and it just got disappointing. And I gave up, and then towards the end of the season, this man won't hit a couple more. All right. All right.
Who are you calling the series for this one? I think it's going to be the Cubs, but what do you think?
I think it should be the Cubs, but for some reason, the Cubs love to disappoint themselves, not even their fans. They like to disappoint their damn selves. So okay. We're not. I'm going to go ahead and call it for the Padres. Because the Padres, though they have a lot of issues and they're not well put together, everybody on their team can connect. At least connect with the ball. And we're not talking about the Cubs when we say that. The Cubs, they have the potential to go yard in pretty much every at bat, but they're not doing it. So we're going to go ahead and call it for the team that is actually getting back the ball.
Okay. All right. Well,
moving on. We are getting into my favorite games for yesterday, and that's the Red Sox and the Yankees. I called this one tooth and nail, and so did you, sir.
Yep.
Love to see it. 3-1 Red Sox. Crochet had 11 strikeouts. He only let up 4 hits and a run. Volpe, that's just luck in my eyes, especially when it comes to Volpe. He doesn't do it on a regular basis. So we're not even going to count that run. Gerrit Crochet had almost a perfect game in my eyes.
No, we can't leave Chapman out of this. Chapman came in and had a nice save. I'm telling you, the Yankees started to make it look scary there for a minute. I thought I was about to get dark. I really did. I saw the bases loaded, and I'm thinking, man, somebody's about to get a grand slam, and it's about to be over. And you can see Chapman stayed calm even when the bases got loaded. When things were going ugly, he dug his way out of a tough spot in the bottom of the ninth. And, kudos. Crochet had a really good game, but, boy, it was Chapman. It was Chapman in the end, in my opinion. Sometimes a closer is the reason y'all win a game. And he came out there and he remained as calm as he could. He remained as slow as smooth as steady type thing. He just – every time he threw the ball, he didn't let anything that happened that went wrong get to him. I think really the true pitcher that won that game was Chapman in the end.
I can agree. I'm not just putting it on Gerrit Crochet, because that was actually a nice little performance by all of them.
It was.
Trevor Story, Alex Bregman, all of them, you know. They all had a contributing factor. So, with that being said, congratulations to the Red Sox. But y'all lost today, which is, to be expected. Sir. We're not saying that the...
It's not over. We're only at the end of the third.
Oh, see, I'm over here looking at... I'm looking at the game from yesterday still. That was my fault.
No worries. It's 2-2. Hey, they tied it up.
And I love that. But y'all are going to lose today, so maybe I won't backtrack. Let me say, y'all are going to lose today. And it's not – it's to be expected. The Yankees are supposed to win. And we'll see if I'm right.
Yeah,
in the next episode.
Yeah. I think it's worth pointing out that there's probably not going to be any sweep in this series, other than the unfortunate fact of the next game that we're about to talk about.
And I love to talk about it. It's my boys. Them boys. I have no clue why you put your faith in the Reds over the Dodgers, other than straight delusion and phantasm.
You know what's really worse is I was flipping my TV off and cussing and making a rather mediocre but meaningful attempt at causing a scene yesterday while watching that game last night, and it was painful.
I called that game down to the letter. I knew it was going to come.
I'm actually surprised we put up five. This is something that I've said before about the Reds many times. The Reds only lose because they lose to themselves because they're not consistent. This is a team that doesn't do things consistently. Green is supposed to be one of the best pitchers in the league. He started off on fire, and then he kind of fell down a little bit, picked himself back up, dusted himself off, and kept on going. And he's had some really good games. All of our pitchers have. I saw some incredible games. I mean, Martinez almost threw a completely perfect game way earlier into the season, not too terribly long after the season started, and he almost did. We've had some really, really phenomenal games from our pitchers. But unfortunately, we fell to your boys 10-5. And the thing I just kept seeing yet again, just like they always do, they swing at everything or they just don't swing at all. You strike them out swinging or strike them out looking. Ellie has not been an elite hitter. He is not a terrifying hitter. They don't even walk the man anymore. They don't even care. He's an easy strikeout, really. Not saying that when he connects that he's not dangerous, because that man's a monster when he runs. I've seen him take and hit a ball that gets snagged up by the shortstop or second base, and he's already at first base before they can get the ball over there. So he's really fast. He can steal a base, no problem. Just no consistency. The whole entire team, no consistency. And the thing about it is if you look at that game, they put the runs that we got were in the last, or I'm sorry, were in the seventh and the eighth inning. That's it.
What I was about to say.
We
hate that about the Dodgers. The Dodgers bullpen they almost cost us the game. If the Reds would have got started cooking, one thing about the Reds, they love to make contact with a baseball once they get the ball rolling. They just you can't let them get it rolling. And once they get Dodgers, oh my gosh, they almost let all those runs go.
It's scary how the Reds win their games based off of essentially comebacks. That's what the Reds do their best at. the last couple of innings.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Of a game is where the Reds are very, very good. But that's the lack of consistency that shows. That is also where, when they're not being consistent, that's where they also lose their games. One of the things I can't stand is it seems like a lot of these games come down to Ellie. And it's bottom of the ninth, and your bases are loaded, and you know Ellie's coming to the plate. If this was last year, no worries whatsoever. We're taking this game. This year, within the first 15 to 20 games, it became pretty obvious that he's not the force to be reckoned with. Neither is McClain. Neither is Stevenson. You give me Marte, you give me Lux, you give me Steer. Yeah, for sure, confident. Somebody's going to do something.
Honestly, I thought Nevelle Marte would have done something last night. He was like 0-for-3, though.
But that's just it. In the playoffs, you can't have an off game because every single game is the worst game to have an off game. You, as a team, you can't. When the rest of your team is playing like they're having an off game and they wait until the seventh to cook anything up, and you're already down by such a terrible margin, like there's nothing that you're going to do. And your only hope is that you somehow convince the Dodgers to walk your guys, load the bases, and get a grand slam. That's like your only real legitimate hope. You're not Snell isn't going to play that bad, and even their bullpen isn't going to play that bad. It's not going to happen. When you are down going into the seventh, 8-0, what's the point of doing anything if you're not going to get 3, 4, or 5 runs in? Your consistency is terrible. And I love the Reds. I'm glad we got to the playoffs. We did it because the Mets also failed. You know, it was a combination of us not sucking just enough to just somehow less suck than the Mets. So being here almost feels pointless because as much as I want to have faith in the Reds, game one showed me that I don't even really hardly want to watch game two because this is going to be ugly. I mean, let's be clear, Yamamoto is going to go crazy. And
no hitter tonight.
Well, no, he ain't gonna get a no hitter.
He might get his no hitter tonight.
Nah, the Reds will get a hit. They always get hits. It's not common that they don't get hits. The problem isn't that they can't get hits, it's they can't get runs because, again, I'll say it over and over and over, they are not consistent as a team. It is an individual performance for the Reds almost every single time. Think about some of the games we won. I've talked about the game where Spencer Steer had 3 home runs. He went 3-for-3 for 3 home runs before he finally wound up ending the game for 3 of 4. But it's irrelevant. They won. It was a solo performance for the most part. These games are not won as a team. Very rarely are they won as a team. This loss is yet again evident that when they play him, they're trying to do too much. I'm tired of watching Ellie swing like he's trying to hit a home run, or he's trying to, you know, launch the ball back at the pitcher, or he's just like, I'm bored. I'm gonna swing at everything and get this. I'm done. I'm ready to go back to the bench. Crack the no. Or he's just like, eh. You know what? I just don't think I'm gonna swing today. I'm not feeling this round. I'm just gonna I'm gonna stand here and I'm gonna just look. And then he just looks completely like you don't know what to do. Like, it's being a Reds fan, So hard. So hard.
It's not supposed to be easy, sir. Definitely not.
It isn't.
But, all right. I'm going to let you take it away with the NFL, sir.
Well, we are moving on to the...
To end the playoffs. We will keep you updated, but for right now, just sit back and watch these Dodgers win, all right?
I'm just saying, at least let the Reds give us one game to make a game three, so at least we have a little bit of something to talk about. But I don't believe that's going to happen as much as I wish it did. And just like that, I also don't believe the 49ers are going to beat the Rams on Thursday, sir.
You know what? I might disagree with you, sir.
Really?
The Rams, I think, will take them another loss tomorrow.
I'm gonna let you tell me why, because I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling to see the possibility of this.
Well, let me go ahead and say the first reason and the best reason is always gonna be the reason. I'm me, sir. And going for the underdog is what I do best.
Okay.
Something's telling me.
So let me.
My feelings, the beyond the numbers part of everything, is telling me that the 49ers go ahead and get them nice little W.
So let me see how you still feel about this after I tell you about the injuries. So first, Brock Purdy's out. Okay, Brock Purdy's out. Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jordan Watkins, Robert Beal. I'm struggling to put together what looks like a winning roster. Obviously, Mac Jones, the Mac attack is back. DeMarcus Robinson, Sky Moore, Kendrick Bourne, old Valdez Scantling, and old Green Bay, sloppy seconds. They don't got Ayuk yet. You know, they're missing Nick Bosa. I'm looking at a Rams team that if they lose, it's the Rams losing because of themselves. I don't see anything here that says that this game is going to be the it's going to be their game. It doesn't instill any confidence in me that we're talking about a team that has any momentum or any sort of moving forward, at least any sort of
ability. You remember I told you, sir, the Rams might just go ahead take that loss, sir. I'm just saying, based off of my feelings and my projections with that underdog, and they're still not really that far of an underdog to lose.
Yeah.
I can go take that plus 290, sir. It's actually really easy to do so, to feel good about it.
At
the very least, you can take the plus 75.
Here's my problem. I can't. And here's my thing. The only thing that I think is going to happen is I think the Rams are going to lead the 49ers to the slaughter. Instead of leading the Ram to the slaughter, it's going to be leading the 49ers to the slaughter. The Rams are much better in points per game. They're neck and neck in passing yards per game, but the rushing yards per game is a very different story. And then total defensive sacks. Sir, Rams are third in the league with 14 right now. I'm not the slightest bit. I'll be surprised if they get less than 3 sacks. Mac Jones is going to have pressure in his face all night. And they're also 12th in the league so far with 3 interceptions. That's a defense that can really get after a quarterback. And if you got a defense that's getting after a quarterback, they're making risky throws. And when you have a very – when mediocrity is the best you can get with the receiving core that they're probably coming out on that field with, you can expect the Rams defense to feast. The only way that this game goes differently, in my opinion, is if a miracle happens and Bosa's back on the field, or his identical twin, who's also as good as he is, the Rams just leave half of their team at home. I mean, I don't think this game is going to be remotely close. I think this will be one of those games where the Rams are going to establish their dominance, and they're going to do so with their defense. Their defense has been doing it all year so far. And we're going into week 5, and you're talking about one of the top, really the top 10 defenses in the league. And they're going up against an offense. That 3-1 record that the Niners have, do not let it fool you. It is not a record that is going to hold true through the season. And they're about to find out why. They are in some deep water with the Rams. Their offense is not going to produce, I don't think, enough to even make it a contest. Honestly, if I'm being real, I could see this game being like where the Rams get like close to 40 and the Niners will be lucky to put up over 20.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I get it. I'm most definitely, ladies and gentlemen, he is not wrong at all. I just like that underdog bet, man. It just seems like the books are setting it up for you just to take it.
The only thing that might happen here, like if we're setting aside the crazy things like I was putting out, like if we were to like break it down realistically, the one thing I think that might could happen, one, we can't forget McCaffrey is still playing. He's not hurt, or not hurt enough to be out, or on the injury list. He just has a phenomenal a game. You know, he puts out, which is for vintage CMC, maybe not so much, but for OG CMC, if you can kind of have a flashback to that. I mean, considering he's only ran the ball 69 times, if he puts out a few more, he could get a couple of touchdowns. You know, put him in on the goal line, let him put his head down and run in there. Like, if he does that, I'm not going to sit here and say that he couldn't perform. Mac Jones is a much better quarterback so far this year than Brock Purdy. I mean, Purdy's got 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, whereas Jones has 4 touchdowns and 1 interception. The yards are very similar. They've both thrown the ball pretty much the same amount of times. Jones is thrown at 80, Purdy's thrown at 73. Their percentages, their averages, their yardage, they have the same amount of touchdowns. The difference being is Mac Jones has, in 7 more pass attempts, thrown 3 less interceptions. And that's a big deal. However, something that, again, it's going to take this coming from CMC. He's ran 69 times for 225 yards, has not had a single touchdown. It's not going to work unless CMC gets going, because Jones has been sacked 4 times. Purdy's only been sacked twice, but the relevance is the number of sacks. That offensive line in total has given up 6 already this year, but they've given up 4 on Mac Jones. Mac Jones is going to be running a lot, and it's not going to go well. Robinson's got, he ran 22 times for 96 yards. I mean, he could possibly do a little something. I just, when I'm looking at this team, even through the air, McCaffrey, and this is something I don't want to completely glaze over, McCaffrey has been a huge factor in the receiving game. He actually has the most receptions on the team and almost the most amount of receiving yards, 31 for 305 and two touchdowns. So CMC has found a way to make himself useful more through the air, in my opinion, than on the ground. After all, he has less rushing yardage on practically double the rush attempts. So he's had – this man's had exactly, 100? Yeah, 100 touches on this ball. He's had 31 catches, 69 attempts on rushing. This man has – he is the leader of their team in every way, which is what CMC will do, especially whenever he has to step up. But it's going to take him getting in on the ground. It's going to take him making catches and getting something done, because when we talk about Mac Jones versus Matthew Stafford, I don't see a whole lot of anything here that is intimidating. Matthew Stafford's thrown for already 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Kyron Williams, 68 rushes for 303 yards. He's got himself a tutty. Puka Nacua, he's got himself a touchdown, 42 catches, 503 yards. Quorum's ran 23 times. He's got 120 yards and a touchdown. Nakua's got a rushing touchdown. Devontae Adams got 3 touchdowns through the air on half the catches that Puka has. But, Tutu Atwell's still playing. He got himself a tutty. Can't ever count Higby out. Williams can make it. He's got himself a tutty. Allen's got himself a couple. I mean, these are guys I'm just talking about, like, just bare minimum glazing over these numbers. It's not really much of an underdog. The only thing that's happened that's been a little problematic is, the Rams have fumbled 4 times. However, they've gotten 2 of them back. So, I don't know. Their defense is mean. Their defense is very, very mean. They get interceptions. They've got all of the looks of a team that you don't want to go up against unless you've got your main core starting offense and definitely your starting defense. You miss that guy like Bosa, you're talking your main pass rusher. Who's going to get to Stafford? He's already got something going because we talk about veterans on teams. That man is a veteran. And honestly, I think a lot of people, as much as I hate to say it, I think a lot of people sleep on it. Matthew Stafford has been in the league for a long time. He went and got himself a Super Bowl. The man has been a dominant threat when he was with the Lions, and then when he went to the Rams, and it has not stopped since.
I agree to a certain extent, I guess. But I'm not going to go back on my feeling about it.
Okay.
My feeling is that the Rams drop one just because of how
the books
and
the Rams are at home.
Who cares? Taking home losses is part of it.
Yeah. I don't see the Rams.
The rival game, you know, it's just, I get it. You're not going to convince me. That's what you're not
gonna. So, I know. I never will. It's not possible. That's the thing, everybody. Like, when him and I disagree, we're never going to really convince the other.
I just stand on business.
Yep.
Ten toes.
Yep. Every time.
Let me go ahead and tell y'all. I'm going to go ahead and take the 49ers for this next game just because I like that underdog bet. It's not just because of the books. It's just because I feel like the Rams are going to take that loss. Now,
this is why we go beyond the numbers.
I completely understand the numbers, but this is beyond the numbers. If you wanted to just know the numbers, Ben does that. I'm beyond that, all right? He just told y'all all the facts and all the stats. I'm telling y'all that I got the Niners by five.
If the Rams lose this game, it's theirs to lose. They play down. The Niners are making the upset. This isn't week one 49ers. This is a beaten, trodden down, wore out 49ers team who's been through the ringer. It's the fifth game of the year. And this is a team that has been just, it's like whenever you see somebody, like, you know, when you watch the UFC and you see some of these guys that come through after they get just completely obliterated in the fight, you look at them, you're like, man, I don't even know how you're still standing. Like, my question to them is, how are y'all even taking the field at this point? How have you not just conceded your game? That is a team that has been through legitimately some crazy stuff, not including the fact that Pearsall, like, honestly, kudos to him. The dude got shot last year and he made a comeback. I'm not knocking the Niners. They are the Achilles heel to the Green Bay Packers. They've been like that for years. Didn't matter who was the quarterback. Didn't matter if they were put together or not. In the playoffs, we beat Dallas. 49ers beat us. That's how it's always been. But this is a team that I look at and I'm like, man, I don't know how y'all have a 3-1 record. Like, you can't keep a quarterback healthy. Mac Jones was hurt last week, which is why Purdy came back early, I feel like. And then Purdy's yet again hurt. He's a Purdy boy. He is not a very safe bet for a quarterback. For anybody in fantasy football, stay away from those who get hurt. It was like, for those of you who drafted Anthony Richardson, I said it time and time again, why? And I say the same thing about Brock Purdy. Why? Why? Yes, he had Kittle. Yes, he had Pearsall. Yes, he had Juwan Jennings. Yes, he'll eventually have Ayuk back. Yes, he has CMC. Yes, 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 and yes, and then he gets hurt. This ain't his first injury yet this year, and we're only going into week five, folks. Yeah. I bring you the numbers, and I bring you the stats as to why I think things are going to go the way they go. And for Will to be right, everybody, it has to be the underdog story. I bring you the reason why it shouldn't go that way, and if I'm wrong, then it's not entirely on me. It's on the team that lost the game. There is no reason for them to lose this game.
Hey, sir, I get it. The emotions are running high, and I can't wait to watch this game tomorrow. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't even know why, like, I care, but, like, it just –
I get it, sir. I get it.
And this is why I love football.
I'm going to stay on it just because I just know what I know. And what I know is, yeah, maybe they shouldn't win, but I think they will.
Okay.
So. Okay. You guys, that's really all we have for this episode. Make sure you tune into the next one where we will continue into week five and give you some more matchup predictions on our MLB playoffs. Other than that, Benjamin, you got anything you want to say, man?
Go Reds.
I'm not even going to say go Dodgers. It's redundant. So, until next time, thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Numbers. My name is Will. This is Ben. Peace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.